This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
We've been in a series in the book of Romans. And first, let me just say this, happy Palm Sunday. If you don't know that, it is Palm Sunday today. This is the week leading up to Jesus' death, where in the Bible, it talks about Jesus made what we call the triumphal entry. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, but it was kind of cool. My son is in the Dominican Republic right now on a missions trip, and he's in a lot of culture shock, so you could pray for him. And just like, man, people live like this, huh? And so it's been so cool. He's kind of, you know, my son's not a huge you know, he's that typical teen when you say, how's your day going? Are you doing? I love you. And he just texts back, okay. So that's who he is. But he's just sending us stuff. And he sent me one yesterday, a video in a village they're in. And here comes this guy just riding on a donkey, you know, by. He doesn't see that every day. And he said, like, Dad, look, you're Palm Sunday. Walking by on a donkey. You're right, son. You got it. So, but anyway, yeah. Well, happy Palm Sunday, and we'll talk about that. But we've been in the book of Romans. This is our eighth installment of this series, just breaking down Romans in the New Testament. What does it say for us? And we know this guy, this apostle named Paul, wrote the book of this letter to this church in Rome at the time, knowing that that letter would not stay in Rome because Rome was like the superpower. And so whatever happened there was going to spread throughout the whole world, and which it did. And so he writes this letter, and this letter is just full of like theological like ramifications of what it means to live a life of Jesus in your life, to live a life for him. And it has showed us so far like what is possible because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And it's kind of opening our eyes to like what it means for you and I to live for him and how we can apply that to our lives. So if you've missed any of them, that's okay. I mean, I encourage you to go back. But we've been giving you these I am statements throughout this whole thing. Every week, I am unashamed of the gospel and I am suffering for a purpose. And so we've been walking through these I am statements. I'm going to give you another one today, but we're going to jump off in Romans chapter 12. Very famous piece of two verses in scripture that if you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard this. We've pasted it on posters, and it's just a very famous piece of scripture, but I'd like to break it down for you just a little bit today. So Romans chapter 12 at verse 1, it says this, therefore, and there's that word again, therefore, right? Like Paul loves to use this word therefore because it's like he's saying, okay, go backwards. Everything that God's done for you, all that God has sacrificed for you, how he has saved you and sanctified you, like all these things that God's done, since he's done those things, therefore you do this. And so he's given us this therefore statement. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then he says this is your true and proper worship. So again, it tells us this is what true worship is all about. And now he's going to tell us what it means to be a worshiper. And then he says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people, I just absolutely want to know what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is for my life. I think Paul's making this statement absolutely, unequivocally, God has a plan, a destiny for your life. And it's up to you and I. We got to find it because God has it for us. So how do we figure that out? Well, we figure it out by understanding our assignment. God absolutely has an assignment for your life. But we also understand it by understanding our identity in Christ, who Christ is, how he's changed us, what he sacrificed for us, does something different. It gives us a whole new name, a whole new branding. But also involved in that is the I am statement that I want to give you for this series and for this talk today. It's simply this, I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. How do we find that significant God's perfect and pleasing will? Well, we understand the power of being a worshiper. Now, sometimes many of us, when we think of worship, I feel like maybe we see God this way. I kind of saw this and I thought of God. Maybe this is how God sees us in worship. I saw this meme just yesterday and it says, I show affection for my pets by holding them against me and whispering, I love you repeatedly as they struggle to escape from my arms. Like, think about that for a minute. Do you think maybe God sometimes sees us that way? Like, he just wants to embrace you and love you, and you're like that pet just squirming to get out of his arms, right? That's maybe how we view it sometimes. And yet we're talking about this. It's perfect how this sets up. Like, it wasn't planned ahead of time, the fact that this particular talk would fall on Palm Sunday. But think about Palm Sunday. It is all about worship. This is what's happening. They call it the triumphal entry. It's before the week before Jesus is to be killed. He's walking into Jerusalem, and the people unknowingly begin to lay these palm fronds down, and they begin to shout something. We find it in John, right? It says they took palm branches, and they went out to meet him, and they're shouting, Hosanna. Hosanna. It's a form of worship. And they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Like, it was absolutely worship. They're worshiping this king, this Jesus, as he's walking in. But how many know a week later their worship would become fickle? And he dies on a cross. The world experienced a pretty massive scandal a while back that I feel needs to be addressed. After years of chaos and disappointment, people by the millions decided to take matters into their own hands and do something about it. Many of them were willing to wait in lines for 8 hours and sacrifice what they needed to sacrifice to make this change happen. And the results were actually pretty brutal. Systems were crashing as people tried to participate. Widespread fraud was being exposed, and despite their dedication to get these things, to get those involved and to change things, the results were less than what everybody expected. It would even seem like there was some dark money being involved. The whole system from this needs to be reformed, and I think it needs to be more safe and secure. And of course, what I'm talking about was the pre-sales for Taylor Swift's recent tour across the United States. What else did you think I was talking about? I can remember the articles, right, and the outlets talking about this madness that was happening across the United States for Taylor Swift tickets. Like, people were waiting 8 hours to get a ticket, sometimes more. Some late tickets, they said, were selling for up to $22,000 a ticket. In fact, one person actually put a ticket for sale for $95,000 to go to this tour. To see a person who's going to lip sync, I mean, sing on stage. Now, I'm not, well, please hear me this morning. I'm not downplaying on any person or anything like that. That's not my hope. But it's moments like that where we have to understand that you and I were created to worship. We were created to worship. There's something that's driving us internally to worship. There's something that drives us to give our attention, to give our money, to give our time to something. And the reason why is because we were created to worship. Quick definition of worship this morning is simply this. Worship is to subscribe worth and value to something. Simply just to subscribe worth or value to something. And the issue for us is not are you worshiping or are you subscribing value. The issue for us is what are you subscribing value to? What are you giving value to? What are you worshiping in your life? What gets your attention? What gets your thoughts? What gets your money? What gets your time? Because we are all created to worship. And we're all willing to do some pretty crazy things when we decide to worship something. You know, like when you're on your phone, like when you're on that social media and that ad comes up and you're like, how did they know I needed that? Like, how did they know I wanted that? Like, we go through our whole life trying to figure out what we don't have, what we need, and what can I move to get what I want and to get what I need. And what is that? It's worship. Like you are subscribing to something. I mean, think about this, church. What would be the behind the scenes thought that would take a man, a full grown man, not a chiseled man, by the way, but would take a full grown man to remove his shirt and to paint his body a certain color, right? To celebrate a sports team where he has no relationship with any of the players on the field. Like, what would drive, what's the behind the scene thought behind that? Well, the simple thing is, that's worship. That is worship. It's subscribing value or worth to something. And we are created to worship. But I want you to understand this morning, this Palm Sunday morning is simply this. It'll be on the screen. We were created to worship God. We were created to worship God. All of those desires that are inside you, all those cravings inside of us to put worth onto something, to value something, all of that was placed inside of us to bring value and worth to God, to worship him. 1 Peter 2 reminds us this. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare. You may declare the promises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Why did God save you? Why has God healed some of you? Why has God provided for you? Why has God led you and protected you and guided you? You know why? So that you may declare the praises of him. God did not save you that you would just attend church. He didn't save you so that you can hang a nice, beautiful Bible verse on your house wall. He didn't save you. He did not save you so that you can do life on your own. He saved you so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a wonderful, wonderful light. You were created to worship God. And so what does that mean for us? Does it mean that we walk around all day just singing songs all the time, trying to act like Pastor Brenton? Please don't do that. It's not a pretty sight. And just kidding. But what does it mean? No, please don't do that. It doesn't mean we walk. That's not what worship, we place that meaning on worship, but that's not what it means to live a life of worship. And Paul gives us this description in Romans chapter 12 on really what is worship. Let me remind you again what verse 1 says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I love that. What does it mean to have true and proper worship? Let me give you a couple thoughts this morning, real quick. What does it mean to have true and proper worship? Well, here we go. Number one, true worship is a response to the love of God. True worship is the response to the love of God. Look what it says in that part of scripture. It says, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy, you worship. Like, you don't worship out of requirement. Like, you worship out of a response to God. When your relationship is built, any relationship really is built on requirement, it's just not fun. It's not, there's no joy involved in it. It simply just comes down to, well, it feels like a duty. But that's not what our worship is. It's a response to the love. It's a response to the excitement of what's happening in that relationship. And that's what true worship is. Like, Kim and I have been married almost 30 years, and I think we're professionals now. And so I think so. And there are what we call requirement seasons, like in any relationship, right? So, like, there's those requirement seasons like Valentine's Day or like anniversaries or birthdays. And those are those seasons, right, where you're intentional, like, I'm going to get you a gift, or I'm going to get you a card. And those are, we obviously celebrate those. Those aren't always our big days or whatever, big things. But it's like, here's your card. Oh, that's wonderful. I love you. You know, and it's all that. But hear me this morning. Those don't bring as much love and excitement and response than the text that I get periodically from my wife on a morning that just simply says, I miss you and I love you. Like, that means something to me. That brings excitement and joy into my relationship. Like, yesterday we were driving over, I said, hey, you know what? You're on spring break this coming week. Kids are gone, and we should do something together. Let's just take a day and go do something. And she's like, yes. I'm like, what just happened here? She's like, that would be, I mean, she just lit up. I'm like, that's all it takes? Yes, you know? She was excited. Listen, real worship is out of a response. It's not out of a requirement. By the way, if you're in here and you're a spouse or whatnot, or you have a significant other, if the only time you worship one another is one of those seasons, it's not true worship, okay? Imagine if we treated God that way. Like, God, I give you 3 seasons a year to worship you. It's just not really much fun involved in that. But hear me, when it comes to God, we aren't coming to him out of duty that says, okay, well, it's Sunday morning, so I guess we got to go to church. This is what we do, right? Oh, I just got my paycheck, so I guess I got to give today again. Oh, my gosh. No, the Bible says this. You know what? We worship because he first loved us. We worship because he first loved us. It's out of a response, right? We are looking at how great God is and how much his love is for us. And when we see that, it literally blows us away and we just stand in awe. And all we can do is respond and worship him with our lives because he's done so much for us. In fact, the Bible, the scripture talks about there that how there are these creatures that are around the throne of God. And they are circled around the throne of God. And they're singing, holy, holy, holy. And they're doing this for eternity. Around the throne of God, singing, holy, holy, holy. And I began to ask, how can we worship the same thing for all of eternity and say the same thing over and over and over again? And I kind of came up with my theory. My theory is probably simply this. I think every time they get around the throne of God, they get a new glimpse of how good God is. They get a new glimpse of how big God is. And because of that, their response is, wow, he is worth even more of my worship. He is even worth more of my praise. And it goes on for eternity, like because that is how good and how big and how great God really is. I wrote down this way, worship is easy when it is a response to God's love. It's just easy when it's a response to God's love. If you are worshiping because, well, that's what your parents told you to do. If you're worshiping because, well, that's just my tradition and the way I was raised. That's when worship becomes not yours. You don't own it. Like it leads you to that mindset of meaningless. It leads you to the mundane. But when I come into a service like this today and I talk about laying my whole life down in a worship song, it's never boring to me because I remember who Heath McCoy used to be. Like I know what I should be or could be. I know the issues in my own life and I look at how good my God has been and how great the miracles have been in my life. And I just can't sit back. I have to celebrate who God is and I have to worship God because God has been good to me. And I think many of you know he's been good to you as well. And when you have those moments when you don't feel like worshiping God, can I speak to you in all love? When you have moments when you don't feel like worshiping God, I say this to you, who cares? Who cares? Our worship is not dictated by how you feel. It's dictated by how good God is. That's how it really is. He has been good to us no matter how you feel. Because the reality for me is this, that because my worst day as a Christian is better than my best day without God. My worst day as a Christian is better than my best day without God. We need to celebrate him, and in view of God's mercy, I'm going to worship him. Hear me, this will change how you worship God. Again, Romans 12:1 reminds us, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Can I tell you the second thing about worship? True worship is costly. True worship is costly. He said, listen to what he says there. Your worship should be a living sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. Right? It's going to be something that's going to cost you. It's going to be hard at times. That's why for some of us, maybe it doesn't apply to you all in the room, but that's why I don't buy into this whole, well, I don't like that song. You ever been there before in a worship service like, well, I don't like that song. I don't like the way the band's playing that. I wish Rachel would do her hair differently. I don't really care for her hair that way. I wish the drummer wouldn't hit that tom so hard. Jeez, you know? We get to that place where we start to be selective. Well, I wish they would do this song. I wish they'd do that song. And we get to that place where I don't like that song. Can I just be reality with you for just a moment? The song wasn't written for you. You're not the object or the focus of the song. If you don't like the song, can I encourage you to take a different perspective? Maybe you should sing it better and harder, because now it's actually costing you something. It's actually costing you something. Let's offer to God something that actually costs you something. Like, we've gotten so comfortable in our American Christianity. We've gotten so comfortable that it's always about us. It's about how do I feel. And can I encourage you today? It's not about us. It's about him. It's not about your glory and your honor. It's about his glory and his honor. Our staff is reading through a book. We typically do that. And we just found across this book. It's simply called The Great De-Churching. And talking about segments of people who've left the church and no longer a part of the church. And the positive side of that is that people are willing to come back. But we have to change the focus on not just seeing Jesus as Jesus, but seeing Jesus as a friend. And that's who he really is. But there was a segment this week that just stuck out to me that I thought was so applicable to this idea of worship costing us something. And it'll be on the screen. This is what the author said. A common thread throughout all of church history is that the more Christians lose in this world for Jesus, the more willing they have been to talk about Jesus. Do you get that? The more they're willing to lose, the more they're willing to talk about him. He goes on and says, when we enjoy social comfort as Christians, we can be timid in sharing our faith, because inherent in that sharing is the risk of losing that comfort if people don't affirm our beliefs. He goes on and says, but if we have no comforts, that hindrance to our evangelism is gone. Likewise, the more concerned we are with maintaining power in our culture, the more focused we will be on ourselves instead of others, which can't help but decrease our desire to see others know Jesus. The idea is that when it costs you something, there's a deeper love and appreciation for who Jesus is. Absolutely. So we have to be willing to offer God something that costs us something. The Bible tells us about King David. If you know who King David is, the Goliath killer, the king of Israel. He ended up at one point in his reign doing something that was dishonoring to God. So judgment, God's like, I'm going to bring judgment on you. I'm going to pour out judgment on your kingdom. So David goes before the Lord and he pleads, please God, don't let this happen. Please spare us. And so the Lord says to him, he says, okay, David, what you need to do is you need to offer a sacrifice that will cover your disobedience. Like, you need to offer me something that will cover your disobedience. So he goes to offer a sacrifice. He goes to this guy's house and he tells him, listen, I need to buy a piece of your land. I need to buy a piece of your land so I can build a place to offer a sacrifice to God. And so this guy that owned the land looks back at King David and he's like, no, you don't need to buy it. I'm not going to sell it to you. I'll give you the land. I'll give it to you. You go ahead and sacrifice to God on that land. And I want you this morning, because the easy response would be, okay, I want you to see David's response. 2 Samuel 24, he says this, but the king replied to Araunah, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. That cost me nothing. In other words, I'm going to go to God and I'm going to bring him something that cost me something. And it might mean you have to be a little uncomfortable. It might mean you have to get out of your comfort zone. But that's what true worship really is. And when true worship for you is, well, I'll sing when I want to sing, and I'll sing the song I want to sing, and I'll give when I want to give, or I'll respond when I feel like responding, when it doesn't cost you something, that is not true worship. Real quickly this morning, I want to break it down to you to tell you, what is worship? What is true worship? All right, what are some three things real quickly what is worship? How can we really break it down practically? Let me give you this way. We worship God with our time. How do we worship? We worship God with our time. It's a sacrifice to give God your time. How many know time is the most valuable asset that you have? Most valuable asset you have. So whatever you give time, your time to the most, is what you're worshiping. We give so much time to things like social media. We give time, so much time to our job, to recreation, our family, our sports, our kids, you know, our relationships. We give so much time to all these things. And I would just challenge you, how much of your time does the Lord get? Like, do we just carve 90 minutes or less on a Sunday morning and say, well, that's our time to the Lord? And let me just pause for a moment. Let me say this to you. I celebrate that. I celebrate that you are here this morning. In a world that has put church attendance on a back burner, the fact that you said, no, my worship is worth my attendance is awesome. The fact that you got out of bed this morning, you had to park way back there and walk all the way up here. You know, maybe you have kids and you had to get them ready and you argued all the way to the church while they're wearing different colored socks. You know, you did what you did to get here, and church is a priority because God gets my time. But I would challenge you that Sunday can't be the only time of the week that you give to the Lord. It has to be more than that. We've got to worship God throughout the week. That's why we have things even at our church, like Wednesday night Grow Yous and Tuesday morning prayers and times to serve in our church. There are people serving in this church every week. Why? Because they're living a David life. I will not offer to the Lord something that costs me nothing. Can I challenge you in this 2024 year, let your Christianity be something that costs you something. Let it be something that costs you something, right? But I would say this all the time, not because I'm buying or earning some way into heaven. You can't do that. Only Jesus can do that for you. But once you go all in for Jesus, you and I need to live a life that's marked by sacrifice. And that's why we give our time to the Lord, right? To be a part, I encourage you, be a part of what God's doing in this church. If you don't have a church, find a church and be a part of what God is doing, right? Like, oh, some of us get up every day, like, oh, but that means another day, Pastor, that I've got to sacrifice. Another day, I've got to give of my time. And I'm like, yes, that's awesome. How much more of a sacrifice to offer God something that costs you something, like time? I wrote down this. The second one I would say is this. How do we worship? Well, we worship with our talent. We worship with our talent. God has uniquely gifted each and every one of you in this room with some kind of purpose, with some kind of talent. And he's designed you in such a way that that talent is to be used for God's glory. To be used for his glory. And so we have two options with the talents that we have. Number one, it could be used for God's glory. Or number two, it could be used for your glory and your gain and your worship and your achievement. But either way, you're using your talent for one of those two. And whether you believe it or not, because I hear it all the time in church, God has uniquely gifted you in some way. And I would just challenge you, use your gifts for the glory of God. And we have this amazing worship team, and every week I thank God for them. Thank God that we don't have to call around and say, could someone please lead worship for us this week? We have a worship team full of talented people that are using it for God's glory. And if you're new here or not, not one of these people, except for the guy with the big beard, gets paid to do this, right? They volunteer their time, and this is a way of taking my talent and using it for the glory of God. I walk through our CLC kids wings and youth rooms, our next gen area, and every week, and I'm just overcome with this sense of awe of, like, we've got the best leaders, best people around here teaching and serving your kids. And I walk through those rooms and I'm like thanking God for people who are willing to use their talents. Thank God it's not me. If it was me, it would be duct tape and VeggieTales, right? Come on, some of you can identify. Our greeters, our welcome people, our people who work our cafe, it's creepy how nice they are. Like, they just have these weird smiles on their faces all the time. But I'm so thankful because they're using their talent for the glory of God. And God wants you to do that. How do we worship? We worship God, lastly, with our treasure. And we don't talk about this one at church a lot. So if you're new here, don't get freaked out. We really don't. You can ask somebody there. We don't talk about this treasure thing a whole lot, but I think it's relevant to the idea of worship, because how many of you know money is a great revealer? Money is a great revealer. We've all done it, right? I don't care. I don't play the lottery, but I know we all done it. If I won the lottery, come on, right? Don't be self-righteous this morning. If I won the lottery, this is what I would do. And we say, I would buy this. I would never talk to that person again. I would move here. How many of you know this one? I would quit this, right? And I thought about this morning. You know what that list is? That list is who you really are. That list is who you are. Money doesn't change us. Money reveals the issues in our lives that were there in the first place. Listen, you show me your bank account, I'll show you who your God is. I really will. When we spend our money, what we spend our money on tells us what we have subscribed value and worth to. Now listen, I'm not saying spending money is bad. I love to spend money. I'm not saying having things is bad. Listen, buy the boat, invite your pastor, we'll have a great time, all right? But the boat can't be your God. It just can't be. The boat can't get all your attention. The boat can't get all your time. The boat can't get all your money. Listen, I'm all about it. But when you need to make sure that you've been honoring God with the first of your tithe, the first fruit of what God has blessed you with, and even above and beyond that. Like, you need to be asking yourself, how can I support a missionary? How can I give up to building and to other ministries that we do here? And once you do that with all the extra, let's get on that boat. Come on, let's have fun. But here the reality is, he is your God. Let's celebrate him and honor him with our treasure. Proverbs 3 says it this way, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. In other words, if God's blessed you, then you give back to God the first. You really do. That's why we around CLC, we're tithing culture. We believe that the first thing you do is give God first. God, you deserve the first 10% of what I have. And I know this is foreign to many people because so many people live wondering, how do I make that happen financially? Like, how do I take 10% and give that away when I've got a mortgage payment or house payment or Starbucks bills? And the Bible simply says this, to test God in the tithe. To test God in the tithe. In other words, when you give, when you tithe, you honor God. And here's what you're saying. Get this morning. I'm going to trust you and believe you that the 90% with your blessing will go further than the 100% without your blessing. Do you get that? And I don't know how it happens, but there's always two categories of people I meet. There's the ones who say to me, well, I wish I could tithe. I'm just too broke. Just don't have any money to do it. And then there's the others who do tithe and who just simply say to me all the time, I'm just so blessed. I'm just so blessed. And I believe this, you will never meet a tither who doesn't say they're blessed. Doesn't say that. Now, let me add you a quick disclaimer to all this morning. Get this. If there's anything you need to know about tithing, this is what you need to know. Disclaimer. If you give God your 10% for the rest of your life and he never blesses you, he's still worthy of it. He's still worthy of it. Just a little disclaimer, a little perspective. He's worthy of all your sacrifices because of what he did on the cross. What he did on the cross was enough for you and I to say, I will do, God, whatever you ask me to do. Let me just finish this thought with this. We do this at CLC sometimes, and I would just say, listen, we give out a 90-day challenge. If you're part of our church, you're not part of our church, I'm not talking to you, but if this is your home, you've been here for a while, listen, we challenge you, take 90 days and say, I'm gonna give 10%, first fruit, I'm gonna give it to you, God, for 90 days. And watch and see how God will bless you. And we wanna hear from you. You might come back to me and say, I didn't receive one thing, and I'll be like, oh, sorry about that. God's not real. No, that's not gonna happen. But you might come back to me and say, look at all God's blessed me with through my faithfulness. Take the 90-day challenge if you're not already given your first 10%. I wrote this last thought. Write it down here if you're taking notes, this is really good. I believe this. When God is first, the rest is blessed. When God is first, the rest is blessed. It's worship. That's why giving is not a requirement. It's a response. When I give to God, it's my worship to the Lord. It celebrates who he is. And if you do nothing for me else, God, if God does nothing else for my life or in your life, it's okay because he did enough on the cross. He did enough on the cross. So Romans 12, going back to Romans 12, 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul shows us, right? True worship is a response to God's love. True worship is costly. But then he shows us this last one that I really want you to get today. The third and last one is simply this. True worship is a lifestyle. True worship is a lifestyle. It's not just what you do in here, but it's how you live out there. It's how you live out there. It's a lifestyle. It's just not what you say to God, but it's how you speak to your spouse. It's how you speak to your friends, how you carry out relationship. It's just not how you show up on Sundays, but it's how you show up on Tuesdays as well. The Bible says it this way in 1 Corinthians 10, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. There's too big of a gap between how some of us act in here and how some of us act out there. It's just too big of a gap. There's too big of a gap from a Sunday version to a Thursday version. And we think, well, the Sunday version begins with worship. That's really what it's all about. And I want to present to you today that God deserves not just our Sunday version, but he deserves our Thursday version, our Friday version, our Monday version, our Tuesday version. That what we do any day of the week should be as much worship as what we do on a Sunday morning. Everything we do is worship. Why? Because I wrote it down this way. Your worship to God is not something you do. It's everything you do. It's not something you do. It's everything you and I do. Everything we do in our lives should be unto worship unto God. We live in a way that says, God, I want to worship you, but not just through a song, not just through a worship set or a Sunday morning, but I want to do it. I want to worship you through my life. Like, your marriage should bring worship to God. Man, your job should bring worship to God. Your education should bring worship to God. Your retirement should bring worship to God. Your singleness should bring worship to God. Your attitude should bring worship to God. Your excellence should bring worship to God. Your finances should bring worship to God. Your driving, we'll just stop there, dear. Okay, we don't have to go that far, all right? Everything you do, everything should bring worship to God, because we are doing it as unto the Lord. It's for him and for his honor. Your effort will not promote you. You can put all the effort you want in. It will not promote you. But I tell him, hear me this morning, your worship will. Your worship will promote blessings in your life. It will promote happiness in your life. It'll promote joy in your life. It'll promote peace in your life. God will promote you. He reminds us in Hebrews 13, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. He goes on to write, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifice, God is pleased. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to please God. That's really the whole it's all about, is pleasing God. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fail. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, my hope and desire is to please God. I'll close with this. Isaiah 61, this portion of scripture where Isaiah calls worship a coat. Like, he literally calls it, it's kind of weird. He calls worship a garment. He calls worship a jacket. And so Isaiah 61, he uses this phrase. He says, put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. This idea that when you're in a season of despair or you're in a season of frustration, your solution should be worship. When you're confused and you're doubting and you're hurting, your solution is worship and praise. And I was thinking about this. Thank you. I was thinking about this, like this whole idea of like a coat. He calls it a coat. He says, put on this garment of praise. Like, I started thinking, that's kind of crazy. Like, why would he call it a coat? Like, why would he call it a coat? That doesn't seem to make sense, right? What does a coat do? Well, for many of us, like, you put on a coat, like some of you, it's the first time you put on a coat about 2 weeks in Montana this morning. You put on a coat maybe because it's cold or it's damp outside, it's raining outside, and so we put something on to protect us and to change. But here's what's so interesting. Have you ever noticed that it's interesting that when even though you put on the coat, it doesn't change the weather. You can put on the coat, but that doesn't mean the rain's going to stop. And you can put on the coat, and it doesn't mean that the cold is going to stop. Listen, when you put on a garment of worship, that's what he's talking about, a garment of worship. I always thought that worship should change the weather. I thought that worship should change the environment. Worship should change the weather. But when you put on a garment of worship, it doesn't change the weather. Guess what? It changes you. It doesn't change the atmosphere. It doesn't change the things you're walking through. But you know what it does do? It changes you. And when I put on the coat, it doesn't change anything about the weather, but it absolutely changes what I feel. It changes how I look. It changes a lot of things. It might be rainy and it might be cold out there, but when I put on the coat, it's not cold or rainy in here. You might be going through some frustration and despair, but boy, when you put on worship, it doesn't change all the frustration. It doesn't change all the despair. But boy, when you put on worship, what it does is it changes what's going on in here. It changes, it changes, it changes. That's what we do when we worship God with your life. When you're in a season of despair, when you're frustrated, you run to God and you put on the worship. And your environment might not change, but hear me, you will change. You will change. And you will see God do supernatural things in your life when you choose to say, I want to live my life for worship. I want to live my life for God. I want it to be marked by Him. Not perfection, not perfect, but marked by the reality that even when I face difficult seasons, I run to God. I run to God. And He's with me. Would you stand with me this morning? Can we do this together? Can we just begin to put on a garment of worship in this place? I thought the best way to do it is to offer God this morning a sacrifice of praise and worship. Whether you feel comfortable or not, this is a great opportunity to just worship Him, to put on that coat. The environment's still there, but boy, I can put on this praise and I can put on this worship and it'll change what's going on inside of here. So can we take a moment as a church and can we offer a sacrifice of praise and worship to our God as Pastor Britton leads us? And can we make this a moment where you connect with the Lord and say, God, I want to worship You. I want to worship You with my life. I want to worship You with my actions and my thoughts. I just want to worship You with everything. Why? Because You are worthy of it. Come on, let's worship Him this morning.
So I lift my hands up and lay my whole life down, my whole life down before You. I lift my hands up and lay my whole life down, my whole life now is for You. I lift my hands up, lay my
just worship you and we praise you. We are so thankful for this opportunity we have. Lord, what a better time as we are entering a week of focus. What a better time for us to pause and throughout this week and just pause and give you worship and offer a sacrifice of worship to you because of what you have accomplished and how you went to the cross and you died on a cross and you shed your blood and Lord, you conquered death and the grave and hell, and you now sit at the right hand of the Father, and you intercede for us, oh God. What greater opportunity than to worship you this week, to remember how good you are, how big you are, how great you are, how much you love us, and through that deep love you have for us, Lord, we can respond to you with worship. Lord, I know it's going to cost us something. I know it's going to be sacrificed for a lot of us, but Lord, may we pause and may we worship you, God. May we pause and just say, God, I worship you with my life. I worship you with all that I have. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, one last thing. What we want to do this morning, if you're here, and you maybe you've heard this message this morning, and worship begins for you by just making that commitment to say, I want to truly live. I truly want to live my whole life for God. And if you're here this morning, we're not going to embarrass you right where you're sitting, right here, heads bowed, no one's looking around. But if you want to make that commitment this morning to say, God, I want to live for you 100%. I want to live for you. I just want the opportunity to pray for you right where you're sitting. And if that's you this morning, you want to make that commitment, all you need to do real quick is put your hand up, put it back down. I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands everywhere, man. Come on. We're making that commitment to say, I want to live for God. I want to live for him. So Lord, I pray for every person that raised their hand in this place. And right there where they're sitting, right where we're sitting today, we can say, God, you come into my life. I want to commit myself to you. I don't want to run from you. I want to run to you, God. Just make that your prayer this morning. God, I want to run from you. I want to run to you. Would you come into my life? I want to live for you. I want to offer you a sacrifice of worship. And it begins by sacrificing my life. To say, God, here am I. You can use me. Here's my gifts. Here's my talents. Use them for your glory. Let my life reflect you. And so, Lord, would you forgive us of our sins and cause us to say, God, I want to live for you forever. And we worship you and thank you. And finally, Lord, I just pray for your church today, Lord, that we would be known as a church that worships God, true worshipers. That it's not just about a song, but it's our life, it's about our actions, it's about our words. Lord, let those things reflect who Jesus is and make Jesus famous in Missoula and beyond. So, Lord, we love you today and we honor you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And as we focus this week, we get close to Easter. May this be the week, God, that we pause and just start so full of awe as we come in maybe on a Friday to prayer, on a Friday night for a service, Saturday as we get Easter extravaganza and we do an outreach, and then Sunday as we gather together to worship you. God, may it be a week full of worship in each and every one of our lives. We love you today. We honor you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, everyone says amen and amen. Come on, come, let's give it up for the Lord this morning. He's worthy of your praise and your honor. Amen. Amen. Hey, visit our Welcome Center, baptism, new, all those things. We love to meet you and greet you. Feel free to hang around, and we hope to see you throughout this week. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.